Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
We'll return to Kerry as Drive Time continues to travel the country ahead of the general election. Earlier in the show, we heard voters in the kingdom telling our reporter, John Cook, about some of their big issues. And John joins us again now. So tell us more about this. It's a five-seat constituency in Kerry, John, isn't it?
Yes, Cormac, and four out of the five outgoing Kerry TDs are running again. Last time round, the five seats were filled by two independents, though Kerry voters might consider the Healy Ray brothers a party in their own right, and they're firm favourites again this time against the outgoing Education Minister, Fianna Fáil's Norma Foley and Sinn Féin's Pa Daly. But with Fine Gael's Brendan Griffin making an early exit from politics, it's down to one new candidate for the party, former Kerry footballer Billy O'Shea, to try to hang on to that seat. And also chasing it are two other Fianna Fáil candidates, a former party TD turned independent Ireland candidate, along with a second Sinn Féin candidate, three independents, and one each for Labour, the Green Party, Aonthu, People Before Profit, and the Irish Freedom Party. And full details of all of them are on the RTE News website. But back to the voters I met from Castle Island to Cathair Savine. And earlier in the programme, when I was speaking to you, Cormac, with shoppers at the Manor West Retail Park in Tralee, you heard how some people mentioned health services and special needs education as their top election priorities. And while some shoppers shied away from talking to me, it was interesting that one local mother waited patiently nearby to approach me, and she asked to speak, speaking movingly about the wait for services for her five-year-old son who has autism. Karina McCann told me about the struggle often faced by her and other parents.
People say to us every day, oh, you know, things are hard, I don't know how you do it. We don't have a choice but to do it. We love our children and we want the best for our children. Mm-hmm. But it is hard. We spend a fortune on private therapies, which won't be reimbursed to us ever. I've had to finish my job, give up work. Childcare is an issue for everyone. Try and get childcare for an autistic child. Mm-hmm. Harder again. We're restricted on carers to 18 and a half hours a week. But what government agency gives part-time hours of 18 and a half hours? Mm-hmm. Nobody. You can't get a job in the county council, or you can't get a job anywhere. Yeah. We people with qualifications, we've mm-hmm. studied, we've worked, mm-hmm. we're giving up our jobs to look after these mm-hmm. children, and then we're means tested.
And you mentioned the lack of early intervention mm-hmm. services. Are there services in your school? Are there, what kind of facilities are you have been made available to you?
So our son attended an amazing early intervention preschool in Castlemaine, just outside of Tralee. And there is none in Tralee. So I have friends with children and bussed out to Castle Island, to Killahan and out near Abbey Dorney. Our children are bussed out to Tralee. Mm-hmm. In terms of what we have been given, we've had limited speech and language therapy provided, no OT provided, psychology limited to the reports mm-hmm. that were necessary to go okay. to school.
And you mentioned how all the political parties are pledging to do more, catching up on those services, offering more. What do you say to them, so?
Help. I think the lack of qualified professionals available in the country is the root problem to it all. There's not enough college places for SLTs, OTs, physios. Open them up. Ensure that we have the people in the first place.
Your son is five, you said. Yeah. Do you see services getting better in time for him?
I have no hope for the public services in this country. I don't rely on them. Anything we get is a bonus. We'll go private, and we do go private for everything we can.
That's not possible for many people, I'm sure.
It's not possible for all. I'm in a lucky position that we can provide that for my son, but there's plenty that can't, and that's the shame in the services.
And that's Tralee parent Karina McCann there outlining issues around special needs services that many families will relate to, without doubt. We've also, John, heard voters earlier telling you about waiting for a doctor's appointment in parts of Kerry.
Yeah, and I was glad they brought it up, Cormac, because it's one that people in many constituencies have been asking me to raise on the programme further, especially in smaller towns and rural areas. It's something we've discussed previously too in Kerry with the HSE's GP lead for South Kerry, Dr. Gary Stack. He's also the medical director of the South Dock Out of Hours GP service, and voiced concerns last year about medical services being overwhelmed in Killarney due to the accommodation of thousands of Ukrainian refugees and international protection applicants there. When I met him between appointments at his clinic in Killarney, Dr. Stack told me that GP numbers are stabilising in some areas, though there are still shortages and long waiting times in remote areas, including West Kerry's Evora Peninsula, where just four GPs serve over 10,000 patients. I asked him what it'll take to address these doctor numbers there and across Ireland.
The situation, I suppose, nationally is improving because the number of training places are improved, have increased, and with the ICGP and also the ICGP have run a programme for non-EU doctors training for general practice, based in general practice, and they certainly have made a difference. They're also looking at rural fellowships, a fellowship in rural general practice in the more remote areas. If we can source someone for those, that would be an ideal opportunity to increase numbers with an expectation that they might stay on in rural general practice from then on. But still, additional incentives, I think, need to be put in place to attract someone to the more rural areas.
You're based here in Killarney yourself, where you've spoken before about doctors and GP services being overwhelmed by a growing population, a large number of state contracts to local hotels brought in many international protection applicants and thousands of Ukrainian refugees. What's the situation now?
So the situation has stabilised. The numbers haven't increased any further. At a certain level, the numbers haven't increased. And my guess is that some have departed. I think also those here have become more accustomed to Irish forms of general practice and when it's appropriate to use the services.
And does that mean that people, your patients, have become accustomed to having to wait longer?
Unfortunately, I suppose this year is the first time that we've had waiting lists for general practice for routine appointments. We can no longer offer a same day service for routine appointments. We still would offer it for urgent cases on the day, but that's not possible to offer it for routine appointments. And this is the first year that waiting lists have been introduced to general practice. I think that's true countrywide.
Killarney was one of many communities where people would have said their services can't cope with new arrivals in terms of refugees and international protection applicants. The government parties and politicians saying they would improve communications, consultation and supports for communities like Killarney. Did they?
In one short word, no. We didn't see any sign of any of those features.
What lessons can we learn for a future government there, do you think?
I think we need to sit down nationally with a group and decide what measures need to be put in place and should be put in place if there's a rapid increase in population, be it local population or be it foreign nationals coming in. There is no mechanism in place to identify the needs or to follow up on facilities available for them.
And that's Killarney GP Dr. Gary Stack there. And of course, the issue of housing, John, came up with voters you met in Kerry. And it's amazing, since the campaign started on this programme, we've met with candidates and voters in Donegal and Roscommon and Mayo and Dublin here in Kildare. And I'm heading to Cork tomorrow, actually, to meet with voters and candidates. And I asked them everywhere what the top issue is. Almost always at the top is housing, John. The same in Kerry.
Yeah, it's the one that keeps coming up on our travels, Cormac, from house prices and rent to a lack of availability. But one Kerry woman's story caught my eye here, as she's calling for greater action on derelict and vacant properties and has started an online petition ahead of the general election. Lisa O'Shea runs the Glow Health and Beauty Service in Carhartt-Savine and is facing eviction herself from the rental home she shared with her student daughter for many years because she's been told the landlord wants to use it for family. Now, Lisa told me it's a very stressful situation, not knowing what to do or struggling to find somewhere else to live. And since her days working with the local Tidy Towns group in Carhartt-Savine, she can't understand, she says, why so many houses are still left vacant and even derelict.
There's loads of houses, loads of empty derelict properties, and it has been like that with the last decade or more, or even there's places, as long as I've been alive, I've never known anyone to be in those properties. They need to start focusing on it and focusing on why these properties are sitting there idle.
Now, the government parties and all the political parties will tell you there is a vacant homes tax now. They have incentivised people to refurbish vacant and derelict properties. They are doing something about it.
Well, I get it, but it's not good enough. I've only seen a small few vacant derelict properties in the last year maybe going on the market, but it's still not good enough. Like I said, Carhartt-Savine is full of empty.
It's a popular tourist spot as well in South Kerry as well.
Absolutely. I'm seeing more and more properties going up into Airbnb like every month. Like, I can understand why people would do it. Obviously, there's more money in it for them. But when you're looking at a small area and then, like, it's overrun with short-term lets and you can't find a long-term let for love nor money. Like, so yeah, they have to start looking at it, and whether people have to get a permit or planning permission to allow a house as a holiday home, because in my eyes anyway, houses are for homes, full stop.
When politicians, whatever party they're from, when they're knocking on your door now that you say, well, unfortunately, you're at risk of losing that door very soon, they will say to you, well, we have all these plans. This is what we're doing about derelict and vacant properties, short-term lets, etc. What are you saying to them?
They're talking and talking and talking, and it's extremely frustrating to listen to some of the politicians, because they've just been so prepped for the media that they're not actually listening to people. Show me. Show me where I can get my house and get me a roof over my head. And I want to buy my own house. I don't want to be depending on anybody for a house or local authorities or anything. I want my own property. I can't afford it. And especially as a single person and as a woman, I think it is definitely a lot harder for one to get and obtain a mortgage and get a property.
And that's Lisa O'Shea of Carrasavine in County Kerry, ending John Cook's report from the Kerry constituency this afternoon.